this September episode, we're doing a wrap-up with Michelle. So you heard from Michelle earlier this season talking about disease in whole crops. We're just going to do kind of a general overview of the season. So, Michelle, do you want to talk about some of the trends that you saw over the 2018 growing season?
Yeah, so what was interesting this year is we got a little bit of help from the weather. In 2016 and 2017, that we had a lot of disease issues because we had regular rain events all summer long. So many areas of the state had rain every 3 to 5 days, and that really stimulated a lot of the fungal leaf spot diseases to become quite severe and cause a lot of problems. In 2018, what happened is we had rain events early in the season, our crops got going, our plants started growing really well, and just when some of our leaf spot diseases, the bacteria and fungi, started really picking up, we actually were fortunate to have several periods in July and in August where we had no rain for up to maybe 10 and in some cases 12 days. And of course that varies depending on where your farm is, but many farmers benefited by these dry periods. And because a lot of our diseases that cause the leaf spots and the fruit rot are fungi and bacteria, that rain plays a really important role in splashing the pathogen from plant to plant to allow it to progress from one little leaf spot to 10 leaf spots to 100 leaf spots to moving on to your fruit. And what happens when we have these dry periods is the disease doesn't necessarily go away, but it's much harder for that pathogen to spread and move throughout the plant. It goes sort of into not fully dormant, but it really slows down on how much it's able to progress and how severe it becomes. And so we saw disease out there, but it was nice. We had this sort of pause button near the end of the season. And many of our plants had the moisture they needed in the soil. Probably a few of you ended up putting on some irrigation in some of these longer dry periods. But our plants were able to keep growing and continue to advance. And in many cases, we had a pretty mature crop by the time we ended up with the rains coming back pretty regularly in the end of August and September. And so even though the leaf spot diseases and the fruit rot diseases started up again at that time period, with that window of dryness sort of helped our crops to sort of outgrow some of the symptoms we had started to see earlier in the growing season.
Okay. So despite having that nice kind of dry period, were there any specific diseases that you saw this year that you thought stood out?
So a big problem that we saw this year was basal downy mildew. Basal downy mildew is one of our water mold pathogens. So it's not a true fungus, and it needs really humid, hot conditions. That's what it really likes. It's fairly unique in that it does not survive Minnesota's winters. And what happens is it can infect the basil seed, it can infect transplants, and it can actually even come in on infected leaves that are sold in the grocery store. And so every year, basal downy mildew needs to be brought into the state in order for us to have a disease problem. Once it's here, the infected plants, what you'll see on the top of the plant is the plants will start to look yellow on the leaves. And it's often not the entire leaf. It'll be sort of a blocky section. Eventually, the whole leaf yellows out and we'll see kind of dead brown, dark, almost black areas. But what you really want to look for if you're confirming basal downy mildew is you want to flip that leaf upside down, and on the lower surface, it'll look dirty. So the spores are sort of this gray, powdery growth on the lower surface of the leaf. And those are a sporangia, and they're a light airborne spore. So you can see them pretty clearly without any kind of magnification. And you can tell that it's not just dirt because it occurs right below those yellow, blocky, discolored areas of the leaf, and it'll be all the way up that plant. And when we have good wind and particularly moist air currents, those sporangia can be carried pretty long distances throughout the state. So once it's brought in, it can spread pretty easily. I first saw it in the early part of July, and it was infecting Thai basil as well as sweet basil. And once those plants are infected, the pathogen moves through the whole plant. And at that point, there's really nothing that you can do. And your best strategy is to take those infected plants and bury them either in the soil or in your compost pile to prevent those airborne spores to moving to other basil in your fields or in your neighbor's fields. The good news is it doesn't like Minnesota's winters. So if you had basil downy mildew, and many growers were able to get maybe one or two harvests, but then lost their crop to basil downy mildew. All you need to do is throw that plant onto your compost pile or bury it into the field. The winter will come and kill off any pathogen that's left in that soil. One word of warning, if you did see it fairly early in the growing season, and you were using a new seed source, it's possible that it came in on either your seeds or your transplants. And so, if you had a really severe case that started early in the season, don't keep any seed that was remaining in that packet. Get rid of that, and then maybe consider a new seed source for next year.
Do you know if there are any companies that are certifying seed at this point, or is it too recent of a disease that it's not really on people's radar yet?
No, I don't know any companies that are certifying their seed as free from basil downy mildew. Most quality seed companies are going to do their best to ensure that they have disease-free seed. I have found that the best strategy is to talk to a seed representative, let them know what diseases you've had issues with in the past, and just have a conversation with them about how they're making sure that the seed they sell you is clean, healthy seed.
Good advice. Are there any other diseases that you saw this year that you want to say anything about?
I did want to mention late blight, not because it became a big issue, but because I got a lot of questions about it. So in 2017, again, we had really regular rain events. And when late blight showed up in tomatoes and potatoes, a lot of growers had significant damage from late blight. It came in along with the tomato harvest, and so it was really devastating to a lot of growers who had worked hard for their crop and then lost it, because late blight can move really quickly. So everyone was on the lookout for late blight. I know a lot of growers actually switched to disease-resistant varieties this year. But again, late blight is one of our water molds. It needs really high levels of moisture. It needs regular rain events to spread. And although it was found on tomato in Otter Tail County in July 23rd, we saw that show up sort of right before we started to hit these periods of longer days at a time without any rain events. And so the pathogen and the spread of that disease really sort of slowed down. And I did not get nearly as many calls about late blight and was unable to find it in my local area. Although we do know that it can occur and it probably did occur locally in some places, we didn't see nearly the level of severity that we did in the previous year simply because we didn't have the regular rain. So again, those kind of 10 to 12 day breaks where we had dry periods really made a big difference this year.
So even though there were relatively fewer diseases this year than in years past, I did still hear from quite a few farmers who were really struggling with black rot and other diseases, that are maybe more the standard diseases that we see every year. Do you want to say anything about that?
We did see a number of our regular typical leaf spot diseases. And on tomato, that was Septoria leaf spot, early blight, bacterial spot. On the brassicas, we did see black rot. We did see Alternaria leaf spot. On melons and cucumbers and squash, we saw a number of different leaf spot pathogens. And for all of those, they were there. They're present. In many cases, we saw some level of infection, and again, had a drier period that allowed the plant to sort of grow out of that a little bit. For most of those diseases, you know, if you had a pretty significant infection this year, you probably want to figure out which disease it was, and learn a little bit more about if there were some resistant varieties and what are the cultural practices that that might have been maintaining moisture and humidity on your plants, whether it was too dense of planting or using sprinkler irrigation that kind of played the role of rain. So thinking about other strategies to manage those. So all of those diseases were there, and I think it's important, even if growers didn't lose yield to these diseases, if you saw it on your plants, if it's present, it is important to do a fall cleanup and think about sanitation and think about rotation. So we're at the end of the growing season and wrapping up a lot of the harvest. It's important to think about, okay, I've got some pathogen, and where that pathogen is going to survive for the next growing season, the most likely place is going to be in infected plant debris. So in those leaves that are infected, in the stems or the fruit that are infected. A few of them have specialized structures that allow them to survive simply in the soil or things like that. But one of our strategies is to, as soon as you're done with your harvest, to till that plant debris down into the soil. And so the sooner you get that plant debris into the soil, the sooner the soil microorganisms can start breaking it down. And as they're breaking it down, they're taking away that kind of sheltered plant material, and the pathogen population is going to start to decrease. It also will reduce if you have, for example, other crops still in the field that you're waiting to harvest, maybe your later cabbages, but you've just taken out your broccoli. You know, making sure that that infected plant debris gets mixed underground can reduce the possibility that any disease on one crop is going to move to a crop that has maybe a longer growing season. So tilling it under in a smaller space, you could potentially clean out that infected crop debris and put it into a compost pile. So not all, but at least the majority of plant pathogens we deal with in vegetables in Minnesota, if a compost pile heats up to about 148 degrees and it stays at that temperature long enough to be able to really break down that plant material so it doesn't look like recognizable plant material, it looks like just an organic matter compost, that's enough to eliminate the plant pathogens that are in there. If you're tilling your infected crop debris into the soil, then that's where rotation really becomes important. So if you had a leaf spot disease on your cucumbers this year, you till those vines into the soil, then you want to make sure that you've got 3 to 4 years before you come back to that area with a member of the cucurbit family. So staying away from squash and melon and cucumbers on that spot. And the reason we do that is we want to give time for those soil microorganisms to really break down that plant material and for that pathogen population to decline over time so that when we come back in, we're not planting into soil that has a big pathogen population ready to infect that young crop.
So even though there were relatively fewer diseases this year than in years past, I did still hear from quite a few farmers who were really struggling with black rot and other diseases that are maybe more the standard diseases that we see every year. Do you want to say anything about that?